Amen. I'm comfortable. My hands are cold. Of course, I was working outside yesterday afternoon and couldn't feel my hands for about 10 minutes. That was rough. But it was cool. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Daniel again. And we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. And we're going to start looking at the beast this morning. So we're going to do a comparison here in a minute. So Daniel chapter 7, read these verses with me first and foremost. Because, guys, I don't know how many people in here has done an in-depth study of the book of Daniel. And I don't know what some of you may have been taught over the years outside or in another church or something. But seemingly, in my studies over the years over the book of Daniel, what I'm going to teach you today is not going to correlate with what the majority of the country teaches. Even amongst the independent Baptists, and but I believe today that it's quite simple, it's quite basic, and we're going to get into that, and we'll get into a few other things here in just a moment. Just straight out of here, and I want to shoot kind of from the hip. I'll put together some slides here in a moment, and you'll see it here as we move forward. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, in the first year, Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw my vision by night. Behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, verse 3 is what we're going to look at, and we're going to move forward. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse, one from another. Now, there's four beasts that we're going to look at here in just a minute of the in Daniel's dream that he saw. Now you're going to see in verse 4, you'll see that the first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Verse 5, you're going to see the second beast is like a bear. In verse 6, you're going to see the third beast like a leopard. And then the final beast you're going to see was great and terrible and so on and so on. And we'll get into him. We'll get into all four beasts in a second. The typical, most common method of teaching Daniel chapter 7, the vision and the dream there, is to directly correlate it with the vision of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2. And so up top here, if you'll look, you'll see Daniel chapter 2, what you'll see there is you see a vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream of a great statue who had a head of gold, it had a body and arms of silver. It had a loins there, or waist, if you will, of brass, and then had legs of iron. And then as you move distal or move downward, you have feet, a miry clay, a mixed multitude of feet. Now, we looked at that in Daniel chapter 2, and you'll see on this next slide here, this is the picture here, and this is what you have. And I think I'm going to get me a little pointer just in case. I think there's one around here somewhere, unless Luke's got it in his back pocket. Amen. So anyway, this is the interpretation thereof. Is the gold is Nebuchadnezzar, the gold head. The interpretation right here, this was Babylon, okay? Roughly around 612 B.C. To 539 B.C. The body and the arms of silver is the Medo-Persian Empire, okay? Now, what's indicative of that is that there are two arms. Now, that's important as we look at both visions and both dreams. Is there's two arms. Why is there two arms? The Medo-Persian Empire. It is a combine. It is a dual kingdom, okay? And that's what you see there. That's why we know that's the second kingdom, which ran about 539 to 331 B.C. That's through King Darius and King Cyrus, who was prophesied. You have the loins here, if you will, the waist, whatever you want to call it, of brass, and that is Greece, okay? Which ran from 331 B.C. to about 168 B.C. And then, of course, you have the legs of iron, and that is the Roman Empire, which ran from 168 B.C. And then you're going to see on there AD 476. You say, why AD 476? Because most people say, well, I thought it only ran to about 313, 312 A.D. Guys, in 313, 312 A.D., right around that time when you had Constantine, the emperor, pagan Rome, which had ruled and reigned the world for so long, converted from pagan Rome unto papal Rome. In 327 A.D., when Constantine instituted a church-state union and established what we know today as the Catholic Church. So, and again, you say, well, wait a second here, preacher. You mean to tell me that those Roman legs are still in power today? Yes, they are. And we'll get into that here later on this morning, I hope. And, of course, you'll see in your diagram here the Ten Kingdoms. Now, we're going to also talk about the difference between this Rome and this entity right there when the legs of iron turn into miry clay with the 10 toes. So go ahead and advance one here. And we see in Daniel chapter 2, we see one of the things that, again, we see in Daniel chapter 2, this is the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. He had this vision, and he saw in verse in Daniel chapter 2, verse, and you can write it down if you're taking notes. We're not going to read them. In verses 37 and 38, the head of gold, and that is interpreted as Nebuchadnezzar or Babylon. In verse 39, the Medo-Persian Empire. Then you see the Grecian Empire. In verse 40, you find the Roman Empire. Okay, that's Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to compare those. So advance one more, if you will. Back in Daniel chapter 7, the first beast that is going to appear, and your typical teaching of this is to illustrate the first beast to directly correlate with the first division or first portion of the statue of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel chapter 2. So what many people will do, and I'm giving you one side right now that I'm going to correct this side real quick. Many people will take Daniel chapter 7 verse 4 and they will directly correlate that with Daniel chapter 2 verse 37. So they will say the head of gold is the lion in Daniel chapter 2. We're going to leave this slide up there right now. And I'm going to go ahead, if you want to take notes, this is the other side, and this is what's the most common teaching. The next animal that we see is going to be the bear, but don't advance the slide, because we'll get into that for our teaching today. The bear of Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, many people will correlate that with the Medo-Persian Empire, and correlate that directly with Daniel chapter 2, verse 39. If you're taking notes, this is what I want you to write down. The leopard of Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, the common teaching is that it is the Empire of Greece, which they correlate with Daniel chapter 2, verse 39. And then the fourth beast, which is great and terrible, that we see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, they will correlate that directly with Rome, the Roman image there of the two legs in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. Now, we won't get into it too heavily today, but in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, you see the little horn there. That little horn is the Antichrist, and we will talk about him in a minute. And many people will take that and they'll say, okay, that is the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 2, verses 40 through 41. Now, all that looks good and all that sounds nice, but there's one little monkey wrench. There's one thing that you throw a monkey wrench into this thing that messes the whole teaching of putting those two chapters directly associated with one another. How many people have an old Scofield in here or a Scofield Bible with them? Amen. Most of us have Scofields. Matter of fact, my old one that I was teaching out of last week, they had them going next to one another. It's a Scofield. You will look in your subnotes right there in Daniel chapter 7, and you will see right above Daniel chapter 7, verse 4, it will say, that will be, it's Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. How many people's Bible has that there? Most of your Scofields. I got a Cambridge now for my 40th birthday, amen, this year. So I'm using this in my last Bible ever won, amen? And praise the Lord. But that's incorrect, okay? Now you say, well, preacher, are you trying to tell me that you know more than C.I. Scofield? I'm not trying to tell you that at all. I'm trying to take a very simple teaching and allow you to make the correlation yourself. And here is where people go wrong because they miss the simplistic part of Daniel 7, trying to dig too deep in the complex area of the vision. Look in Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Here's the problem. In verse 3, it says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Skip down to verse 17, if you will. And the Bible says, these great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Now, what is the biggest monkey wrench in aligning that lion with that head of gold in the three verses that I just read? Think about it for just a second. Daniel, from Daniel chapter 7 forward, is dealing with what? Dealing with prophecy. Things that have yet to happen. Can I get an amen right there? Yet to happen, correct? What year did he have the dream? In the first year of King Belshazzar. After Nebuchadnezzar. You follow? It's a simple teaching. Very, very, very self-evident. And you'll see the simplistic interpretation of this dream as we move forward, especially when you get past that simple point. Nebuchadnezzar had already died and gone. He had already died and gone when Daniel had this dream. When Daniel saw this vision of things yet to happen, Nebuchadnezzar is out of the picture. So there was no need to have the head of gold in the vision that Daniel saw, because he saw a vision of things that were yet to occur. Right? So now, you can't associate the four beasts with these four kingdoms right here directly. You have to whack that head off, take this lion right here. The Bible says in Daniel 7 verse 4, it says, "And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings." How many wings does an eagle have? How many arms does the Medo-Persian Empire have? You get it now? See how simple it is? Medes and the Persian, the two arms, is the same as the Medes and the Persians, like the great lion, the picture of the eagle's wings. There are prophetic teachings that go along the line of this side as well that extend even further out from the Medo-Persian Empire that we'll see here in just a simple moment. When you look at it in its simplistic form, these four beasts arise out of the earth in Daniel 7. They are said to be four kings or four kingdoms that arise after the Babylonian Empire is finished. That is the key point in understanding the proper interpretation of the Daniel 7 vision as compared to the Daniel chapter 2 vision. So when Daniel had this dream, he had it in the first year of Belshazzar, who was murdered in Daniel chapter 5, verses 29 through 30, when the Medes and the Persians take control of the kingdom. So with that said today, you can clearly see that the first kingdom or the first beast that is seen in Daniel chapter 7 runs directly along the line with the second kingdom of the Daniel chapter 2 vision. Okay? You say, "Preacher, why are you teaching that?" Because if you don't get this right now, everybody's heard the old saying, if you don't start right, you're not going to end right. So in order to end right, you got to start right. If you're one degree off the mark when you start, by the time you get over here, you're going to be 10 to 20 degrees off the mark. And if we don't get the kingdoms right, because there's only four beasts in Daniel 7, you can't add another beast to make up for this right down here. So if we start all four, what happens when we get down here in further prophecy? You'll see something here today that I don't know if you've ever seen before, but it's a pretty good looking thing. I sure like it. So let's look with me real quick. Daniel chapter 7 verse 4. The first image that you see is the lion with the two wings. And that lion, my friend, is a picture of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now I'm going to say this to you real quick before we go into the next one. In your Bibles, if you want to see that in Daniel chapter 4, you circle lion. And it's the Medo-Persian Empire. It has two wings. It's a dual kingship, if you will. Now, the second thing that I want you to see. Hey, Brother Darrell, go ahead. There it is. Good. That's what I wanted you to see. It is a type. This is a type and a picture of England. Okay? So, this is a type and a picture of England. What has been the symbol for England for all of ages? Remember, Daniel chapter 7 also extends all the way down into Revelation chapter 13. We'll see that here in just a little bit. Okay? This prophecy goes all the way to the end. So we see this image that this lion is the Medo-Persian Empire, has two wings representing a dual kingdom here of the Medes and the Persian. But you also see a type here of the nation of England, of the land of England. So we'll go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 5. We'll see the bear with me real quick. The Bible says, "Behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." This is the second kingdom in Daniel chapter 7, verse 5. This is the second kingdom to come up, or the third kingdom, if you will, according to Daniel chapter 2. And this is the Grecian kingdom. This is the kingdom of Greece under Philip of Macedon and Alexander the Great. Okay, that is the two that you find. Now, when you're going to extend this beast into prophecy down the way, and you're going to run into Revelation chapter 13, you're going to see this beast being a type of who? Russia. Type of Russia here. This is what you see. You see a foreshadow of the Magog and Gog battle. One's going to occur at the end of the trib. Another is going to occur at the end of the millennial kingdom. There is a difference in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. One is the battle of Gog. The other one's the battle of Gog and Magog. Okay, and then we can get into that later on in time. Daniel chapter 7, verse 6. We see here the leopard. And I saw in a night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. I skipped a verse. Daniel chapter 7, verse 6. And after this, I behold, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So we see here this beast right here. This beast is like unto a leopard. This is that fourth kingdom, if you will, or the third king that we find in Daniel 7, and this is Rome. This is Rome. Rome is a mixture of people. As Rome conquered across the world, you correlate this with the two legs of Daniel chapter 2. Those two legs walked across the world conquering and conquering and conquering. Well, you know what we find? This is a type of the USA. You say, why is this a type of the USA? Well, first and foremost, for the past 100 plus years, the United States of America has had the most powerful military of anybody on the face of the planet. Amen? I mean, there was nobody. Even Russia at its height was so financially strapped. Had they really wanted to take us on, they would have lost within a matter of hours. They did not have the financial resources to come and fight America. They didn't. So we have been the greatest military force in over 100 years, America has. But what is indicative of us, we are a melting pot. We are a mixture of all three races, all three ancestral races there. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that's what the United States of America is. So what we, and you know what, here's what's interesting about that. So was Rome. So Rome was a multicultural metroplex. It was a mixture of all three different types of races when Rome was in power and ruling. So we see a type of the United States here. Daniel chapter 7 and in verse 6, we see that it is Rome and we see that it is a leopard. Now get over here to this fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7. I want to show you a few things that are quite neat here. And I think it'll help you out a little bit. Daniel chapter 7, and the Bible says, "And after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts, and there were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, I'll stop you there just for a second. We know who this beast is, right? Who is this beast? This is the Antichrist. Amen. This is the Antichrist. He's got 10 horns, which correlate Daniel chapter 2, verse 40, I believe, with the 10 toes. Okay? Those 10 toes in Daniel chapter 2 that are mixed with miry clay, a mixed multitude of people, is the image of 10 kingdoms. 10 kingdoms. The 10 horns is the picture of 10 kingdoms all the way to the Antichrist. You say, well, wait a second, preacher. This is where people miss it. They say, well, wait a second. Why are you applying this to the Antichrist where everybody else in the history of prophetic teaching in the book of Daniel has applied this to the book of Romans? Because here's the problem. When you get to the 10 horns, that is a 10-nation kingdom just like the 10 toes are. Everybody agrees that the 10 toes in Daniel chapter 2 are the 10 kingdoms. But when we get over to Daniel chapter 7, everybody says, no, that's Rome. It's not Rome. Rome was a unified land that conquered more than just 10 kingdoms. They never had a 10-kingdom union. They controlled it all. You understand? They were unified in and of themselves. Verse 8 says, "And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were like, or eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." Who is that little bitty horn comes up? That is the Antichrist himself. That is, so you got a kingdom or a king here, a picture of 10 kingdoms and a beast that goes forward in great and terrible. And then a little horn pops up with eyes are great and wonderful. That is a picture of the Antichrist. And he said, oh, wait a second. If Daniel is seeing these fourth beasts and you have Rome in verse 6 and then you have the Antichrist in verse 7, how is that possible? I want to show you a picture here real quick with me. If you will turn in your Bibles in Daniel chapter 7, I'm sorry, Daniel chapter 2, in verse 40, And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdue all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break it in pieces. Verse 41 says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And I'm going to stop you there real quick. Verse 40, we see who? Rome. Those legs of iron, that is Rome. Verse 41, we see the 10 kingdoms, which is indicative of what ruling leader? The Antichrist. End times, Revelation 13, right? We fast forward back to Daniel chapter 7, and we look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, and it says, and this I saw in the night visions. Now, in your Bible, circle that two words, night visions, because we're going to look at it here in just a second. Night visions. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue of the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. In between that semicolon and the 10 horns, you can take that part right there on a timeline, and you can insert Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. Okay? There's something that happens in between the 10 horns, and there's something that happens between verse 40 and 41 of Daniel chapter 2, and there's something that happens between that semicolon and it had 10 horns in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. Somebody tell me what happens in between those points. Good job. The church. In between those aspects is a 2,000-year period of the church, guys. The church. It's the same thing. That's what is there. You say, well, wait a second. How in the world is that true? When did Daniel see this? Look in Daniel chapter 7, verse 2. Daniel spake and said, and I saw by the visions by night. Look in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. If you skip over there real quick. Verse 13, and I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man. Look up there where we just read just a second ago. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions. What is interesting about this here, in this aspect of him seeing in a night vision, at night, things are what? They are hidden. The reason you can find in this area here, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7, the reason we say that it is the Antichrist, it is his kingdom, but he doesn't pop up until Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, literally. He doesn't show up there until he shows up with that little horn. You say, well, I don't understand that. I want to know how in the world can his kingdom be ruling and reigning, or him be this beast that is revealed, yet he doesn't show up and the church is in between all that. If you'll turn over to 2 Thessalonians real quick, I'll give you this answer. And then I want to show you here how this church has been hidden between those verses of that dream that Daniel saw. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, this is what we find. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 7. This is what we see when you're there. Signify, say, amen, do something. Shake, I don't know. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, stop there for a second and think about this. When Daniel saw this in a night vision, there was something that was hidden and there was something that was revealed. What was revealed was the Antichrist kingdom and then the Antichrist himself. Does that make sense real quick? What was revealed was the rest of the kingdoms, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and Rome, and the Antichrist. But what was hidden in the night vision was the church that he never saw. Never saw the church. So how can we say that today that kingdom, that great and terrible beast right there, is already working? Because the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who is the he? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The answer, the Satan and his kingdom, because you've got to keep in mind, it is the Antichrist as the king, the little horn of Daniel 7. However, it is Satan's ruling. It is Satan's workings. It is his kingdom that he comes in and tries to set up for that 7-year period. So he's already working, but the reality is this, during this hidden time from Daniel, this time called the church age or the age of grace, this period of time right now, the only thing that Satan can do, this iniquity that is working in this world, is what the Holy Spirit of God allows him to do. And when the rapture happens, when the Son of Man descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and we're caught up together with him, and forever we shall be, when that happens, the Holy Spirit is coming with us. Amen? The Holy Spirit will come back and forth during the tribulation period. He'll go back and forth from the earth, working as God directs him to work, and work under the will of God. However, the Holy Spirit, as we know it and have it today, will be taken from this earth. When he's taken from this earth, then the wicked, the Antichrist, shall be revealed, and he will have full reign over this earth. Now, when Satan is finally cast out completely from the first and second heaven and can go nowhere but the earth, the latter 3.5 years of the tribulation period, that's when this Bible calls great tribulation. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Amen? Because he's coming. Boy, I tell you, he's mad. Amen. So, what do you see here in Daniel chapter 7 between those verses, between the 10 toes, between the 10 horns? See, a period of time of roughly 2,000 years. Mystery of iniquity is already working. The Roman Empire converted from pagan Rome to papal Rome. It went into a facade of the church. Guys, listen, we didn't come out of the Catholic Church. We are Baptists, amen. Baptists have never been, we're not Protestant. We're not protesting anything per se. We run our doctrine all the way back to Acts chapter 11 when they were first called Christians. Amen? We have never been part of the Catholic Church. We're not protesting them. We wasn't part of the Reformation. Matter of fact, the title Baptist came originally from Anabaptist, which means to rebaptize. Okay? Before that, we were the Waldenses, we were the Paulicans, but we were all the way back to Acts 11 when they're called Christians first in Antioch. Okay? So, having said that, when the Catholic Church was killing and murdering Christians, they were killing and murdering Bible believers. And in 327 A.D., when that church-state union was instituted during the church age of Pergamos, Pergamos means marriage, when they had when the two entities were, it was actually spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery, where the church united itself with the state, and it was a state union, or state religion, and everything, all the pagans could join the church, and all their festivities were Christianized. That's how you got Halloween, was All Souls Day. And, you know, All Souls Day is November 1st, and on All Hallows Eve, the night before, they prayed to the dead. It was necromancers. They prayed for the dead and prayed for the dead and put out treats and stuff there for the wicked spirits that are going to come by. And that's what it was. It was a pagan ritual. Catholic Church took over and says, we're going to paganize, or we're going to Christianize your pagan festivals, and we're going to call it all instead of All Souls Day, praying to the dead, we're going to call it All Saints Day. Let me tell you something, Catholic Church still prays to the dead, don't they? Anybody who's been one second in the Catholic Church, those little candles that are over there that you can, they even have them where they're not even real candles anymore, they're light bulbs. And if you pay, you got to pay the priest to pay your family out of purgatory, they're dead. And to pray for them. Guys, listen, somebody dies without the Lord Jesus Christ today, you're not praying them out anywhere. They're split in hell wide open. Amen? Right now is the time when you witness to them. Now is the time when you share the gospel of grace. Right now, you don't wait till they die and go give their last rites. Listen, that shell of a body is empty. Amen? It's empty as old mother's cupboard. Amen? It's just a body now. Got that? So, the mystery of iniquity, that's what it is. It's still working today, just like it was when Rome took over back in 168, 167 B.C. It just put a different clothing on. That's all it did. The pagan festivals and all this and that. So the mystery of iniquity doth already work, but he can only do what the Holy Spirit of God allows him to do. So what was hidden from Daniel in the night visions, okay? What was hidden from him was the church age. It was a mystery. And guys, there are 22 times this mystery shows up in the Word of God. 22 times this mystery that Daniel did not see, but he saw all the kingdoms. 22 times it shows up. Look in Romans chapter 16 with me. Romans chapter 16. Daryl, got to appreciate your honesty, brother. He said, I saw the slide. Could have got away with that. Romans 16 verse 25 says, now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. I know we hit this verse last week. But now was made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Should be one page over. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's a mystery, okay? Look over in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then verse 51, latter part there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Bible says there, verse 51. Behold, I show you a what? A mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What's that referring to? That's referring to the transformation at the rapture of the church. Preacher, rapture is not in the Bible. Amen? Well, okay, fine. But its definition sure is. Amen? It means the catching away, to be caught up yonder. Amen? That's what it means. And so that mystery here was something that was hidden in ages to come. It was hidden from Daniel in a night vision. He didn't see it. It landed in Daniel chapter 7 after in between a semicolon and another word. It landed in between two verses of Daniel chapter 2, verses 40 and 41. Right in between those two areas is where the church age and the rapture of the saints of God, the church, the bride of Christ, it's where it appears. It was a mystery. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, you'll see this very same mystery. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Bible says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. If you look over in chapter 5 of the same scriptures there, watch this. You know this one quite well. Again, guys, it's a mystery. This is a mystery. Ephesians 5, verse 30 and 32, or 30 through 32, it says, for we all members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Now, guys, marriage wasn't a mystery at this time, was it? They knew how marriage worked. They knew how it all worked. But what was a mystery? He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It was a mystery, guys, and it was not shown unto anybody prior to the point of the Apostle Paul receiving it. Colossians chapter 1. Well, I'll give you one more. Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Bible says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And of course, Paul going to say, whom we preach. So I want you to think about it. In the night vision, there is darkness. There are things that are hidden. There are things that are not seen. There are things that are unknown. There's things that are unsure of. So what is hidden in Daniel's vision are not the kingdoms and the proper order that they are in. They're in the correct order, and he has it correctly as the things that he sees. We can cross-reference this with Revelation chapter 13, and maybe next week we'll open up for about 15 minutes with Revelation 13 comparing these two visions from Daniel 7 to Revelation 13. Guys, from Daniel 7 all the way to the end correlates with the book of Revelation, much of its prophecy. Understand that. The overwhelming majority of prophecy in the Word of God deals with whom? Israel. Deals with Israel. So understand this. When you're going to begin to look, and again, let me say this. Don't get caught up in studying too much prophecy. All right? I spent a lot of years studying prophecy. It's fun. It's great. It's wonderful. I enjoy it. But guys, I had to pull back. I had to tell myself, this is the dessert, this is the ice cream, this is the whipped cream with the cherry on top, the meat and potatoes, is studying about the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to know Him greater, know Him more, so that I can be a better witness to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek out and say, and see that those are saved which are lost today. That's the purpose of His coming. The purpose of Christ's coming was not to tell us about the four kingdoms or the four kings and all that. This is good stuff. I don't think you should throw it out. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You need to know as much as you can about the Bible. We need to know what's getting ready to happen, because all of this stuff is getting ready to happen. We are in the middle of the mystery already working. We're in the middle of the kingdom of the great and terrible beast that went forward and devoured. We're in the middle of that thing now. We're not in the middle of verse 8, which is the little horn. Now, the little horn of Daniel chapter 8 is Antiochus Epiphanes. That is not the Antichrist. The little horn of Daniel chapter 7, that is the Antichrist. And we will look at that in the weeks to come to show you how to decipher the two. Okay, and remember, next week actually we won't have Sunday school because of Christmas Day. We'll have regular service. There'll be 2 weeks today that we'll dig a little bit in Revelation 13 with these beasts. Because once we get into this, once we continue to look down in Daniel chapter 7, you're going to see the Ancient of Days. You're going to see the Son of Man coming in His glory. You're going to see the Millennial Kingdom. You're going to see the second coming of Christ upon this earth. You'll see all of those things. You know what you're not going to see? Not going to see the church. You know why you're not going to see it? Because Daniel didn't see the church. He didn't see the church, even though he spoke of it briefly and did not realize it. So, Daniel chapter 7. If you take anything away from today, understand that you have to properly align the beast or the image of Daniel 2, the great statue, gold head, silver breast and arms, brass waist, and iron legs, with the image of Daniel chapter 7. And you know what? I challenge you. You can go home today and you can Google. You know Google's in the dictionary now? Go Google something, right? Amen? You can go and you can Google it and Google the Daniel 2 vision versus Daniel 7 vision, something, whatever, something like that. I promise you today what you're going to find is that everybody is going to directly associate from start to bottom. And the whole reason they do that is they skip over the most simple part of the verse, and it is the timeline that God gave us. Guys, do you realize that God put every word in the Bible for a purpose and for a reason? Amen? Hey, did you realize that Jesus Christ wasn't born on December 25th? Sorry, and Santa Claus doesn't exist? Uh-huh. Oh, sorry, Brother Pete. Do you know how we know that Jesus was not born on December 25th? You say, well, because you knew it was a pagan festival and, oh, it was Christianized and all this and that. It was the birth date of Tammuz, the son of Nimrod, da, 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 da. You know, that ain't why. That's not why, okay? Two people could be born on the same day. Nimrod could have had his son Tammuz on December 25th and Jesus could have been born on December 25th. The reason we know that Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th, and again, I'm not trying to mess your Christmas up. Look, I'm Christmassy. I love Christmas, all right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing that. You know, it's not. Jesus is the reason of the season, and He is. Amen. He's the reason of every season. Praise the Lord. And I'll guarantee you this: if I can use a certain time of the year to witness unto a lost and dying, I'll ride that pony till it dies. Amen. And I'll have a good time with it. But the sole reason we know that Jesus Christ was conceived during the latter part of December is because it's in the Bible. It's in the book of Luke. There is nothing in here that is not needed or not used. God didn't put down here Daniel 7:1 in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. He didn't put that in there just to fill words. He didn't do it just to, well, you know what? There's an empty spot right there, and I don't want an empty spot. This will sound a lot better. Let me put that. He didn't do that. He put it so that you and I could properly decipher this vision that Daniel had in verses 4 through 8 and properly correlate them with the vision of Daniel chapter 2 of Nebuchadnezzar. In the first year of Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar was already dead. Belshazzar's kingdom was steadily getting ready to come to a halt in 2-3 years. Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar was not needed to be in that vision because it was for things yet to come, so that it was properly correlated. So if you take anything away today, take away the fact that the proper correlation and alignment of these verses would be to remove the gold head and then take them and align them. The 10 horns of the great and terrible beast of verse 7 aligns with the 10 toes of Daniel 2, verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 41. The 10 kingdoms that will be in the 7-year tribulation period. There's a whole lot of time that occurs in between those verses. All right? In between one verse, and just 3 words to the end of one verse in verse 8, verse 7 of Daniel 7, there's at least a span of 2,000 years, guys. Okay? So there's a lengthy time of the church that is not seen by Daniel, but is in here in your scripture. And in 2 weeks, what we'll do is we'll draw a conclusion there with these beasts and we'll tie them together with Revelation 13. And that'll even give you a better picture and better image of the beasts that are here. in the Bible. Amen? All right, so we're going to go ahead and close. We went a couple minutes over, I believe, and my watch is correct now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. And